Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your anointing in this house this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't it awesome when people are hungry to be in the presence of the Lord? You know, when we're hungry to be in his midst, you know what? He wants to come hang out with us too. And how many times have we came to church, and I'm not talking about us specifically. Maybe I am. Who knows? Who knows? We get in the formula, we get in the rigmarole, and we show up and we get our religious check mark. And if we're not attentive, if we're not careful, we can leave Jesus out of the whole thing. I'm not saying we don't talk about him. You know what I mean? But sometimes we just get used to that formula. Well, it's 11:05 and we got to do this. And now it's time to switch and do that. And you know, sometimes, I guess what I'm trying to say is sometimes the Lord wants to mess up our little program. You know what I mean? And I think the Lord for these words from my brother Shepherd, and Sister Kiwi and Sister Rita. I needed that stuff. You know, Preacher Paul, Brother Paul, I get tired from time to time. And, you know, we all go through stuff. You know, I needed that. That was for me, right? So thank you, my brother. Yeah. I love you guys. Is everyone in James 3? Or have I been distracting you? Okay, check it out. 8 weeks now we've been in this study in James, and thank you for your patience, and thank you for being committed with me through this long haul. I know it ain't been no short study, but I have been blessed, and I hope and pray that you have been blessed and been encouraged as well. I don't know about you guys, but I find that James is extremely, extremely convicting. I mean, the whole word is sharper than a two-edged sword. And if you get into it, Sister Kiwi, you know, the Lord's going to expose some stuff. He's going to show you what we need to work on. And James, you know, has really been just socking me in the belly, spiritually, you know, just showing me and exposing myself where I've dropped the ball. You know, and so let this be a time of refreshing for us. Let this be a time of excitement for us. And let's take this stuff and let's apply it to our lives. Amen. Because we want to be that blessing to a lost and dying world. I was so encouraged yesterday. I didn't know who was going to show up and who was not going to show up yesterday to reimagine Santa Rosa. But we had an awesome turnout. And those people that couldn't be there, I get it. I completely understand. I'm definitely not coming down on anybody about that. We all have things we have to do. But I was so blessed by the turnout. And just, I mean, we've been in James talking about, you know, Christians bear fruit. Christians do good works. That's just part of being a Christian. You know what I mean? And I saw that in action with Sister Sonia and Sister Rachel and Sister Robin and all of us that were out there, you know, feeding physically, literally feeding the hungry, those that were in need. You know, and that's what it's all about, right?
Amen.
We're a new creation. Amen. We're not that same person anymore. And because, Brother Shepherd, God has done so much for us, you know what I mean? Like I was talking about this morning, we get blasé about it because, you know, the wind and the waves come and all that sort of thing. And it's so easy for us to lose track of the fact that, man, I was on my way to hell. Literally, I was on my way to hell. And the Lord reached down and said, not you. Not you. You're coming with me. Amen. And let us never lose sight of that. Amen. Because when we really think about it, you know, there should be something just overflowing in us. You know what I mean? I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. That needs to be a song. James needs to write that. You know, I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell. Oh, well. Oh, well. I'm not going to hell. I mean, I know that's silly, but man, we need to be stoked about that, right? Man, I'm not going. That's one thing I am never going to know what that feels like. Yeah, God is good. So let that be an exciting thing for us, you know, let that Thanksgiving just overwhelm and overflow us, man, so we can go out there and be that blessing to our neighbor. Like Brother Shepherd was saying, he might not be the nicest guy on the block. You know what I mean? He might be a rotten, dirty scoundrel or something like that. You know what I mean? But the Lord says, love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. You know what I mean? So we got a job to do. And there is definitely a problem. You know what I mean? If we are so quick and easy to be distracted and look the other way, then there's a problem. Amen? Because a good tree is going to bear that good fruit. Amen? So James is talking about bearing that good fruit. Christians are going to produce some works. Amen? And one of the reoccurring themes that we have seen in the book of James, there's an awful lot of talk about speech. Awful lot of talk about how we talk. The things we say. Amen? And James is really going to dig into that a little bit deeper today. And Lord willing, we're going to be talking about speech hardcore for the next 2 weeks. Now, if y'all are really, really good, we'll talk about it for about an hour and a half today, and then we won't do it for 2 weeks. But that depends on your behavior. I'm playing. We want to be obedient to the Lord. Lord knows. This is an awesome bunch of folks, Sister Dina. You know what I mean? And we're hungry for the Lord's word. You know? James 3 and verse 1. Before James talks about speech and how powerful and how even how evil and detrimental that can be, he talks to those who teach, those who speak, or the would-be teacher. Just a little entry thing here in James 3 and verse 1. It's just one little verse where he reaches out and wants to communicate to those that would inspire to be a teacher or a preacher or those who already teach. Not many of you should become teachers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. Not many of you should become teachers. Now, back in the old day, back in the Bible days, to be a teacher, to be a preacher of the Lord's word, there was a lot of weight to that, a lot of authority that came with that, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, like now, to a certain extent, a lot of people would go into the teaching ministry for the wrong reasons. Can I get a witness? Maybe they wanted to see their names in light. Maybe they wanted that authority that would come with it, or to get that, you know, people to look at them and say, oh, look at that. Look at that preacher, man. He's got it going on. Whatever. James is reaching out to those folks saying, listen, basically it's like this, Steve. I'm just calling your name. I'm not saying you're guilty of this. But if you're not called, now listen, if you're not called to be a preacher, teacher, then don't cross that bridge. Don't go into that. Does that make sense? Now, don't get me wrong. We've all been called to be teachers and preachers. Well, which one is it, Paul? We've all been called to do it. But what this is talking about, those that would hunger for a position, a place of authority, if God has called you into that, then by all means, you need to walk in that and be obedient to that. You know what I'm saying? And the simple fact of the matter is if God has called you to that, you need to be open to that. And you don't have to worry about how you're going to get to that place. You see what I'm saying? You don't have to worry about how you're going to get to that place. Just be open and obedient to what the Lord says, and he will exalt you in due time. He will put you in that place where he needs you to be. Amen? But you just be open. But a lot of people would go into it for the wrong reasons. Amen? So if you have not been called, and you will feel a pulling, a tugging, if you have been called. Amen? And the Lord will make a way for you. Amen? But we've all been called to teach and to preach, but this is simply talking about those that would hunger for a special position. Amen? It's not to be taken lightly. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen? Hey, look at Moses. What an awesome example right there. He had no desire or vision to be the leader of those people, to walk in that ministry. You know what I mean? He had a confidence issue. He said he didn't talk well. But see, he was called. And he walked in obedience, and the Lord really used him and blessed him. Amen. And he was a blessing to many. You see what I'm saying? And it's not about numbers. It's not about how big your church is or how small your church is. But what kind of fruit is that church bearing? You know what I'm saying? What kind of life is coming out of that? Are disciples being made? Are lives being changed? Is the word of God being proclaimed unapologetically? Amen? Those types of things. We're going to see fruit. Are y'all with me this morning? I look at my good buddy Preacher Arnie's church, man, and this is such an awesome, awesome story. I know I've bored you guys with this before, but this has been an encouragement to me because I knew Brother Arnie McCall. He's preached here a lot, but me and him were working together at this shelter for homeless and troubled kids, man, And I knew this guy when he was fresh down from Oklahoma. You know, he hadn't been down long at all. And he had told me the Lord called him to start a church. And, you know, I certainly didn't have anything against him. And he was a very likable individual. But then I'm thinking, well, man, where have I heard that before? You know what I mean? You hear that quite a lot. You know what I mean? And but you know what? I went to his church. And you know what? They were meeting. Somebody donated a little office. Not an office building, but a little office for them to have their meeting in. And that's all they had at this time. You know what I mean? It was about the size of the foyer and the church office. And it was divided like that. That means if they had a full house, there was a door that would be an entryway into both of those rooms. So if you were in one room, you couldn't necessarily see what was going on in the other room. And we went, me and Rachel Jean went there one time, and there was six or seven folks. And the word was there, man. I'm talking about, man, Arnie was just giving it. The anointing was there, and it was super powerful, man. And you know, we went back again a few months later, and, man, it was like being in a punk rock concert, man, in the mid-90s. It was just standing room only, and it was just cram-packed. And then before too long, they got the dude who owned that that building kept giving them more and more space. And then eventually that building was not big enough for them. You know, see what I'm saying? If you're not called, if you're not called, your charisma, your personality, those things are only going to take you so far. You know what I mean? There's not going to be that fruit. But Arnie, preacher Arnie, I hope he hears this. No, I'm playing. Because he owes me one of these. No, I'm playing. They kept having to knock down walls in this building. The guy just gave them a building, man, and the building was about this size, and they kept growing and growing and growing and growing and growing till where now they had, a while back they had to move from that building to the building across the street. See, this guy owned a bunch of buildings on Industrial Boulevard in Pensacola off Highway 29. Christian cat. And so he wanted to do a nice thing and let this young man who came down from Oklahoma with a couple of his friends, gave him a little room so they could worship. And then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger till they had to move across the street. The guy gave him a whole nother building. And now they have two buildings that cross Industrial Boulevard and 29, and there's hundreds and hundreds of people that go to that church because the word of God is proclaimed there. Amen. You know what I mean? And the Lord's hand is on Brother Arnie. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's been a cakewalk. I'm not saying it's been evil, because he is my close friend, and he has been in the trenches just like anybody else. But see, listen, Rita, when God is commanded to bless, it doesn't matter what Satan wants to do. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. No weapon formed against us can prosper. You know what I mean? So it's just growing and growing and growing. So that's what he's talking about. If you haven't been called, don't waste your time. If you're going into it for the wrong reason, please don't waste your time. Because those that teach and those that have been called are going to be judged stricter than the pupil. Now, that affects probably no one in here but me. Now, I'm playing, we're all teachers to a certain extent. But when I read that, that's one of those things where I'm like, why did you put that in there? Why is that in there, man? You know, but see, God's word is in there for a reason, right? To instruct. So we need to know that those that preach, those that teach, you need to know it ain't no game. It's not for your own little agenda. It's not to get people on your side or your political views. Amen. It's not about your opinion or your ideals. Okay, but the Lord takes this very seriously, and he says, this ain't no joke, man. You don't mess around with this. You have been entrusted with my infallible, perfect word. Do not mess it up. Don't add to it. Don't take away, because if you do, there's going to be some hardcore consequences on you for that. Okay, I'm not preaching horrible right now. Excuse me, God is good. God is good. Say it. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. That's how it is, man. You know what I mean? Okay, let's go to the next slide, my brother. Okay, well, that's okay. That's cool. man, you know what? Just don't worry about it. But thank you. Thank you. But, man, we're just going to, well, I don't want to say we're going to rush through it, because then I feel like I would be lying to you people. Listen, James 3, 1 through 6, if you want to. Is it on the back of the bulletin? It's on the back of the bulletin, Houston. You don't have to bother with it if you don't want to. Everybody get your bulletins out. Rick is a mighty warrior for the Lord. And you know, I would tell this cat, you know, you don't have to bother with this stuff, but he'd do it anyways. And, you know, this church, man, this is an awesome church, man. I love each and every one of you. Look at me, I'm getting my bulletin out like I don't have my own notes here. Anyways, well, preach it, Sister Kiwi. All right, God is good. So is everybody cool? Does anyone need to take a break? You need jumping jacks? Shake your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Give them some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Okay, now I want to read Luke 12 and verse 48, coming to you out of the NLT. You don't have to turn there, just follow along with me. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. I want to read that again. We're talking about, at this moment, we're talking about teachers. Now, some teachers will use the pulpit for their own agenda. And we already talked about there'll be a strict judgment for that. Now, the one who is misled, the one who is manipulated, will not have as strict a judgment as the one who does the manipulation. Does that make sense this morning? That's why James is saying, hey, be careful what you want, man. Okay, if you think you want to get up there on that pulpit, you better make sure you're called, man, because this is not a game. Okay? This ain't no joke. All God's people said, this ain't no joke. Amen. But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. That does not mean you will not reap what you sow. We will definitely all reap what we sow. Amen? That's how that works. That is a deterrent. Hey, if you choose to sin, there's going to be some consequences to that. Hey, I'm a forgiven person. I'm a saved person. That's great, and that's awesome. But God says, hey, you got to be careful here. You want to break my law? You want to break my commandments? You want to rob a bank? Okay, I'll forgive you. You're sincerely sorry about that. I'll forgive you all day long. But that, the man may have a problem with that, though. You know what I mean? You may have to do a little time behind bars. You may have to start your prison ministry. Amen? But someone who does not know and then does something wrong will be punished only lightly. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. See, if God has called you, God will elevate you. And when God puts you and gives you that platform, and it may start off with one or two people, it may start off with your wife and your best friend like Preacher Arnie. You know what I mean? But see, God can bring it into something awesome and amazing. And like I'm saying, it's not about numbers. But I do think God likes big things. I mean, I don't see God do a lot of small stuff. You know what I mean? He created the heaven and the earth. You know what I mean? God doesn't have problems with the small church because there's a need for the small church. Some people don't want to get lost in the crowd. You know what I mean? Some people like to just come in and praise the Lord and don't really want everybody hanging out with them and asking what they have for dinner. You know what I mean? And God has called some people to big churches and some to smaller churches. You know what I mean? I believe there's a place for both of them. Amen. But I'm not going to be one of those people that's going to condemn and talk down about the big fancy church, man, because, okay, God has ordained, God has commanded to bless, and God has blessed them. Amen. What man sees as a blessing is not always a true blessing. You know, God does things that we don't quite get sometimes. Does that make sense? Okay. When someone has been given much, much will be required in return. And when someone has been entrusted with much, even more will be required. So the teacher has been entrusted, the preacher has been entrusted, the pastor has been entrusted with this awesome responsibility, with this word, and to proclaim it correctly. You know what I mean? And to be serious about it, not saying we can't have a good time and be jokingly, and is that a word, jokingly? Be still. But the word has got to go forth, man, and you can't hold back the truth. You know what I'm saying? You can't say, oh, I don't want to offend this person. You know what I mean? It's not that we ever want to offend, but we got to give the truth of the word. We always give it in love. But see, you can build a fancy club of a bunch of people if you tickle them behind their ears and tell them all kinds of stuff that's going to make them feel good in their sin. Satan will work hard to bless that junk. You know what I mean? But we can't get involved in that. Amen. Y'all with me so far? Ah. And all God's people say, ah. Ass. Okay. I love those people that will actually do that. That makes staying up till 4 a.m. all worth it right there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Moving right along. For we all stumble in many ways. Whether you're the teacher or the pupil, we all stumble. You know what I mean? We all drop the ball. I'm talking about saved folks. You know what I mean? Ain't nobody perfect in here. You know what I mean? There's a couple that are coming pretty close to that. That joke is so old. I'm not even going to do that. You know, I want to do that. You know how much I love Sister Rachel. But anyways, God is good. We're running out of time. But she's a... Now I'm in this weird place. For we all stumble in many ways, whether in your actions or your attitudes, your thought life. Good Christian folks, we drop the ball all the time. So James has been talking a whole lot about godly folks bear godly fruit. Now, lest there be any doubt, you're not a perfect person, people who are reading this letter. You know what I mean? The teacher ain't perfect. You're not perfect. For we all stumble in many ways. Now, this is good right here. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, now we're officially on speech. Okay? And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. Okay. This is one of those verses that people have ran with and have distorted. Okay. So I'm just going to give it to you like this. You're not going to be perfect on this side of glory. That makes sense? Now, we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? But we're not going to be perfect. It always baffles my mind why people call me when they know that I'm preaching right now. But anyways, so what we're talking about. Yeah, nobody's perfect. We all sin. We all fall short. But we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. As a matter of fact, James says, you know what? A little test for you. If you're perfect in what you say, if you do not ever sin by the things you say, by the things that exit your mouth, then you can be a perfect person. If you can control your mouth, then you can control every single other part of your being. You know what I mean? What he's saying is, the reason why I keep talking about speech is because it is so important, and Christians miss that mark all the time. We Christians, just like anybody else, we will say things we have no business saying. You know what I mean? And in the natural, people will do mean, bad, sour things to you. And as a human being, you're like, oh, no, he didn't. No, she didn't. And somebody do that. Do it, Kiwi. Do it. Yeah, we feel like that sometimes, don't we? We really feel like that sometimes, and we want to let people have it. And the Lord says, through James, no, you can't do that. That's going to mess up a bunch of stuff, ma'am. We need to be a family, okay? And when you're talking to the people that do not belong to the Lord, don't go out there and let them have it. That's a horrible witness. You're messing up all kinds of stuff, man. Your witness just got way, way back, dude. You know what I mean? You don't have, that's one right you don't have, man. See, now I'm doing this thing. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man. Ain't nobody perfect. That's what he's saying. You ain't perfect. You ain't going to be perfect. Okay? If we put bits This is cool right here because I've been reading in James for a long time, preparing for this, and I'm like, one day I'm going to talk about a horse, and Josh and Dean is going to be back there. And I'm going to have trouble keeping them in their seats. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide the whole their whole bodies as well. You put a bit into a horse's mouth, and with some skill and some tender love, you can direct that horse, right? Wrong, right? You can get that horse, that big animal, to the place you need it to be. And if we would let the Lord bit and bridle our mouth, if we, through the Holy Spirit, if we would be obedient to what the Lord wants us to do and what us to say, we can get on that right path and go to that place where He wants us to be. Amen? But we are so quick, so often, when we feel offended, or sometimes, man, we are just deep, hardcore in the flesh, and we will say things that are hurtful, that are painful, that are profane. And there it is, man. We're diluting our witness. You know what I mean? And we're hurting those around us. Yeah. Well, we can definitely sin in our minds. Yes, ma'am. We can definitely sin in our minds by the things we think about. How? What? One at a time? What? The devil cannot read your mind. Only the Lord. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. But remember, the battlefield is in the mind. Amen. The battlefield is in the mind. Before you ever physically act upon that sin, it's going to be entertained up here. And it might not be entertained the moment before you do it, but somewhere in the past, you've said, okay, I'm cool with doing this if this lines up, and here it is. Whoop, there it is. I'm doing it. You know what I mean? The battlefield is up here, and we can definitely sin by the things we entertain. Now, we cannot help or control the fiery darts that Satan throws at us. And all God's people went, okay. You cannot help what is thrown at you. But remember, if we choose to entertain these things, then we're getting to that sin place. We're starting to fester and focus and dwell. And that's where it becomes sin. Can I get a witness? Not everybody should be a preacher. Because you can be prideful. And it was, oh my gosh, I should just shut my mouth. Because that could have been taken the wrong way. So all God's people said, it's cool, man. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I feel better now. Verse 4. Look at the ships. James is so practical, man. Remember last week he talking about godly people are going to bear godly fruit. Faith and works is dead. He gave us Abraham as an example. Then he gave us, what was the lady's name? Rahab the prostitute? Yeah. Two examples. Doing the same thing, man. Sending out this letter. And listen, back then, people traveled by animals, horses, or they traveled by ship. So this ain't going to be a lost on a lot of people. You know what I mean? They're going to get this. James is a pretty smart cat, right? Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by very small rudder. They are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. Wherever the will of the pilot directs. Ships are big. Some are small, but some are big. You know what I'm saying? But the rudder, on whatever size ship it is a lot smaller than the actual vessel. Amen? You with me? Amen. That little bitty rudder can steer that ship to safety. All right, right. Or if it's not manned right, it can steer it right into the rocks. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So the wind and the waves are going to come. We're no stranger to that, right? Trials are going to come. Temptations are going to come. All these sorts of things are going to come at you. And how are you going to handle it? What are you going to say about it when that person in the natural deserves to be put in their place by you in the natural? How are you going to handle that? Because I'm a Christian person. Because here comes the wind and the waves, right? Here comes that person that is buying 14 million stinking lottery tickets. You know what I mean? Dude, come on, man, please. Never mind. And you want to say something nice because you want them to remember your face. You know what I mean? You know, like, I was there when you bought that winning ticket. I was there. I didn't say nothing bad about that. You know what I mean? But you go through those situations, and you're like, oh, man, dude, you are so inconsiderate. Enough already with that. Come back at 4 a.m. when no one else is here. I guess that's just me. Never mind. I don't know. Personal thing. All right, whatever. God is good. Forgive me. But how are you going to handle these things? Because here comes the wind and the waves. But see, if I let that Holy Spirit guide me, lead me, keep me from saying the things I shouldn't say, I'm not going to talk down to somebody. I'm not going to browbeat somebody. I'm not going to listen to when somebody has insulted me. I'm going to give it to the Lord because words are very powerful. Amen. But you know what? I don't have to take that junk in because I belong to the Lord. And I know who I belong to, Sister Rita. I know whose child I am. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. Excuse me. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. We need to let the Lord, our pilot, lead us to that place He wants us to be. Amen? And not be so quick to cause so much damage by the things we feel like we should be allowed to say. Amen? When we're not our own, we need to remember this. I am not my own. I'm not my own. It's not about my agenda. It's not about the things on my bucket list. I belong to the Most High God. Okay, verse 5. Is everyone okay? Is anybody? Never mind. We got donuts. Thanks. Man. And we got a new sign out there. Everyone tell James thanks. This kid, I don't know, man. You got to watch him. James Hill, he's crazy with the spending and the buying and all that. He's a big-time blessing. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, y'all tell him thanks, man. Tell him to do thanks. When he first came around, man, he was stressing me out, man. I was like, no, dude, don't buy that. Don't buy that. Don't buy all this stuff, man. But he just wants to be a blessing, man. So I kind of cut him loose, so who knows what's going to happen now. Who knows? Thank you, Jesus. So also, the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. You know, that tongue has a tendency to make you look bigger and better than you are. We got to rein it in, right? Now, working at that shelter, I think I talked about the shelter this morning. Working at that shelter, you would get kids that would come in and from all different walks of life. You know what I mean? I'm talking about kids that were pulled out of their home. I'm talking about kids from troubled backgrounds and stuff like that. And they would boast and they would brag about things that I personally knew were not true because I would do their paperwork and I knew certain things. Like, for instance, if a kid would come in and he would say that, you know, my grandfather is Dave Thomas, the founder of Wendy's or something like that, I'd be like, well, you know, that's not what your paperwork said, but whatever, you know. The kids have a tendency to make themselves look bigger and badder. Like, I don't know, so many kids would come in to the shelter in Pensacola, and this is funny, this is cute. They would come in, these teens would come in, and almost every single one of them, without knowing each other, because they come in at different times, were all working on this awesome demo tape. It's just this big thing. I mean, gone are the days when I'm going to be a baseball player. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of that. And there's a little bit of the basketball player. One day I'm going to be that. But what is so prevalent is these kids come in and their cousin owns a recording studio. Their cousin or their best friend owns a recording studio and they're working. Have you ever heard this? And they're working on the demo that is this, you know, they're making their own songs that are going to be sent out to record labels and stuff, and it's going to be spread around the community, and it is going to change the landscape in America. And they're all waiting on this. And, you know, maybe one or two of them are doing it, but, you know, you hear so much of that. What I'm saying is kids make up stuff to make themselves look better. We can do the same thing, and we do the same thing, just in a different way. I mean, you guys would be like, whatever, dude, if I said it, because I say a lot of stupid stuff. But you know, we do things like that. So James is hitting this, man. I was like, watch what you say, man. Just be real. Be obedient to my voice, the Lord's voice. Amen? Y'all with me? So also the tongue is a small member, just like the rudder in the ship, just like the bit in the bridle in the horse's mouth. Okay, your tongue's small, but you know what? Left unattended, it can get you in a whole mess of trouble. It can hurt those around you. You can destroy people's lives by the things you say, man. Think about the riots that have been started by people just saying things that don't need to be said at the right place at the right time. Think about Hitler and how he would talk to people and how he manipulated a whole nation that was in the right place at the right time to cause all that death and destruction. Amen? Now, that battlefield started up here, and it came out the mouth, and it caused an awful lot of death. Amen? Y'all with me? That's why the Lord says, you got to watch what you say. Amen? You got to watch what you say, man. You are hurting people. You are killing people with your words. Amen? How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Me and my buddies, I share this with no pride. Okay, so everybody get ready. I've got a lot of these stories, actually, about small sparks causing big fires. I could write a book on it. Anyways, one time, me and a buddy, well, there was this place out in the woods that where we would congregate, kind of meet up before we'd go get into trouble at night. I'm sorry, Mom, and you don't know about it. But we would meet out at this place. This wooded area out in the middle of the woods, take a little, little dirt road out there, and it's out in the middle of nowhere. And we'd meet up there and say, hey, what you doing tonight? I don't know, man. What you doing? Let's go get into trouble. Sounds good to me. And so we would meet up there. One day, for whatever reason, I can't remember why, we had nothing to do. And so me and my buddy, we went out there in the daytime, just sitting around causing trouble, doing the devil's business. That's all I'm going to say about that. And I had a couple bottle rockets in my car. They were just sitting there. And me being silly, that unrenewed mind, I light one up, aim it at my buddy, let it go, and it flies into a couch that someone had left out there a long time ago. Yeah, you know where this is going. So it hits the couch, and so we continue talking for a few minutes, and all of a sudden I look back over at that couch, and there's this humongous blaze just 40 feet up in the air or something. It was just this massive fire. And we're out in the middle of the woods. And it's before we can even think of what to do, the fire is just spreading everywhere. And we're like, oh, no, we're going to be cut off. We got to get down the road. So we drive down the road. And, a little dirt trail. And we go. And being stupid teenagers, man, immediately forget about it. That was crazy. Drive around, man, that couch sure was a big old fire. Yeah, it was, man. What else can we do today? So anyways, we go home, and I go eat at my parents' house, and he comes with me. And we're sitting around, about time to go meet the fellas, see what we can get into. So we go back out to the place. Is everybody with me so far? So it's nighttime now, we go back out to the place. And like I said, that was the farthest thing from our minds. We were scared for a second, then we left, and they were like, hey, what's on the radio? Completely forgot about it. So we're driving back, and as we drive, there's like this glow in the distance. That's kind of pretty. I've never noticed that before. It's nighttime, and we're driving down this dirt road. It's like, man, it looks different. Start noticing these trenches, man, that people have dug in there. It's like the forest department had to come out. The fire department had to come out. We burnt down miles of somebody's private property. And a lot of it was still glowing. Oh, don't judge me. No. She is, I think. There's a lot Sister Claudia doesn't know about yet. I've tried to tell. Listen, man. Listen. Pull it back together. I'm going to start over. There's a lot of things Sister Claudia doesn't know. But I've tried to tell her. She's like, I don't need to hear this. She's like, listen, man, all my stuff, the statute of limitations is like gone. That's like, it's all good. Now, I feel bad about it. I repented. I didn't burn nobody's house down that I know of. But anyways, that one little bottle rocket caused a humongous miles and acres were burnt. I'm talking about little niches, little habitats, all these little ecosystemal, I don't know what I'm talking about, but the animals and stuff had to go find another place to live because of me. You know, we caused a lot of damage. One little word, one little phrase said at the wrong time can cause a lot of damage. You know what I mean? So James is like, would y'all please stop doing this? There's a reason why he keeps bringing this up, because it was going on in the church, but it's also because it's going on in the church now. You know what I mean? Can I get a witness? How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, let's just go to there. Is that right? Did I skip anything? Okay, I think we're good. Is everyone cool? I got one more verse. Are y'all ready for it? Can y'all do it? Y'all want to? Okay, James 3 and verse 6. Now, James is not giving folks, you know, fire safety tips. That's not his ministry. That's not his thing. He's trying to make a point, man. Just like the tiny little spark that can burn down miles and miles of pasture land. You know what I mean? Your words can cause so much damage. The words that are spoken on you can cause so much damage. You know what I mean? There's life and death is in the power of the tongue. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. You know what I mean? You can make somebody feel like the most stupidest, insignificant person by the things you choose to say to them. You know what I mean? Maybe not one time, but you know, with some people, one time will stick. You know what I mean? Well, you might be the person that says you might be the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back in somebody's life by saying that one thing. You know what I mean? See, people have been burdened and burdened by people telling them rubbish over and over again that is in no way, shape, or form true. But Satan is right there, because the battlefield's in the mind, telling the person to say this, but also to that little one or whoever, to your wife, to your friend, to your child, or whatever. You see? See, you are a dummy. You ain't nothing. You no good. And then it adds up and it adds up. You know what I mean? Okay. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. All the wickedness that the world has to offer can be unleashed by the things you say onto people's life. You can make a murderer out of somebody by the things you teach them and tell them and how, you know what I'm saying? Are y'all with me? And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. Think about this. Once your words, man, this is so true. Once your words exit your mouth, you can't take them back. I'm walking, living proof of that. I do it like every single Sunday. I'm like, why did I say that? I shouldn't have said that. You know what I mean? Where'd that come from? No, but I mean, seriously, on a serious note, Kev, once those words exit your mouth, you can say you're sorry to the person you've offended, okay? And if they're a godly person, they probably will. More than likely, they will. Absolutely, they will forgive you. You know what I mean? And the good Lord will forgive you. But some of that damage is not repairable. You know what I mean? This analogy did not come from me, and I heard it from my father, but it did not come to him. But some of the gossip and the slander and the evil lies that we say about people because we don't like them would be like climbing to the top, or preferably taking the elevator, to the top of a large building and dumping a pillow, and all the feathers go out in different directions over the city. You can't get all those up. That's unrepairable. Even though you've been forgiven, some of that damage, only the Lord can heal some of that stuff. You know what I mean? And those things, even though once you've let it fly out, man, that's why the Lord says be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Because once it's out there, man, it's like recording something on the video and putting it on the internets, man. You ain't getting that junk back. It's gone, daddy, gone. Right? Did y'all know that? My sister? That's good, my sister. Whew, is everyone okay? All right. That's good, my Sister Kiwi. Everyone give Sister Kiwi a round of applause. That's good. That's good. I thought it was going to be another question. I was like, oh, I don't know if I can. No, okay, God is good. Okay, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among the members, staining the whole body. So it's part of your body, and it can cause so much trouble to your body and to other people's bodies. But to be honest and sincere, where it says body, that really means your whole person. So the words that are spoken over you can be troublesome and burdensome and cause so much pain and destruction to your whole person. You know what I mean? From physical ailments to mental illness, you know, people speak things over you. You entertain it because if enough people tell you, you must be stupid, you must be dumb, you must be the ugliest guy the Lord ever created. You know what I mean? Because people keep telling you that, and heaven forbid anything like that would go on. You know, but we know stuff like that happens. You know, and that stuff beats you down and tears you down. Can I get a witness? Okay, God is good. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body. The things that we say affects not just your body, but the whole person. Amen. Setting on fire the entire course of your life. Not only does it affect your whole person, your whole being, but it can mess up somebody's whole life by the things you speak over them. You know what I mean? Look at the young lady. Look at the teenager that never had a father's love, that never had the mother's attention or whatever. And not even that the wrong things were said, but the right things were never said to them. You know what I mean? And then there's the painful, the hurtful things. And then here comes old cool Johnny Joe Bill or whatever, you know, who's got all the right words to say. And there's bad decision after bad decision because the little girl just wants to be loved. You know what I'm saying? Then we got an unwanted pregnancy. I'm just trying to paint a picture for you. You know what I mean? We can mess up people's lives, man, by the things we say. Amen? Y'all with me? Okay. All right. God is good. Amen. Man, you guys, I just need to let you guys go. This is awesome. Oh, okay. What are we talking about today? Fire. Yeah, don't mess around with fire, man, because you can burn like a bunch of acres with a bottle rocket. Setting on fire the entire course of the life. Now listen to this. I'm going to end with this. And set on fire by hell. And set on fire by hell. Isn't that crazy? From the mouth of Satan or the mouth of his minions into your ear, the battlefield of the mind, and out your mouth to cause destruction. You know what I mean? Not only does what come out of your mouth, now listen, not only what comes out of your mouth shows what's in your heart. You know what I mean? We talked about that, I think, like first or second week. You know, the things we say can be very much and are very much an overflow issue, like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much deeper. If I'm constantly talking negative about other people, then there's something else going on inside me. If I'm constantly saying lustful and perverse things, then you know what? I've got a lust problem. Can I get a witness? You know what I'm saying? Right? Okay, so there's that. But also, the things that are spoken over you and the things you say are directly from Satan sometimes. You know what I mean? Can I get a witness? And they can affect your whole life. And they can turn you into something else that you weren't. That makes sense? You've heard it enough. People said it enough. And eventually, you are that person. You believe a lie from the devil. Amen? The words that people speak over you that are evil can turn you into something that the Lord never meant for you to be. Amen? Y'all with me? And Satan will gladly use good, godly Christian folks. He sure will, man. He certainly will. You know, it's in the scriptures. Look at Peter. You know Peter? You guys are familiar with Peter, right? The guy in the Bible, Jesus' disciple, apostle. Yeah. Brother Shepherd, we just got to get you up here one day. That time, yeah, that's like way overdue. Dude, that is good, man. That is good. Yeah, that's awesome, man. I got good folks up in here. Okay, what's going on, man? I need to wrap this up. Yes, Peter, man. He just gave some awesome wisdom. You know, the Lord just used him in a big way in this situation. And then Jesus says, you know, hey, man, we're going to Jerusalem and some things are going to happen, man, some bad things that you guys aren't going to dig on. You know, I'm going to have to suffer. That's all paraphrased. And Peter's like, no, not you, Lord. No, 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 no. And what does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Peter loved the Lord. Peter was just used big time by the Lord. You know what I mean? And then he was just used by Satan to be a would-be stumbling block to the Lord and Savior. And Jesus was like, nope, that's not of you. Get behind me, Satan. We got to realize when Satan whispers into our ear, when Satan uses a good friend or a loved one or somebody we don't even know to speak death and damnation over us and all this sort of stuff, got to realize, and that's not from them, that's from the devil. You know what I mean? And I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And before something like that ever leaves our mouth, we got to listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's saying, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't say, oh, you shouldn't have said that. You know what I mean? Okay. Thank you, Jesus, for blessing this congregation. Thank you, Father God, for your healing power, your healing virtue going out. Thank you, Father God, that this is a church that is on fire for you, that is going to be used in a mighty way in this community, in this neighborhood, in this nation, Lord. Your will be done in this house. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Jesus, that we are going to love you so much that we want nothing more but to please you, Lord, that we are going to put you first and you are going to meet our needs. Lord Jesus, teach us to hold our tongue, Lord God. Teach us to say what you want us to say. Teach us to be silent when we should be silent, Lord God. Thank you for healing the hurts of yesterday, the rejections of yesterday, and we love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know what? We got this cool thing going on Mondays at 1:30 at Whataburger for the guys. It's at Whataburger on Stewart Street. You should come out if you got nothing to do. It's really awesome. It's really fun. Donnie's buying tomorrow, right? It's your day to buy, right? I play.